B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Like, I get why Carson wasn't playing last night. I get why we're not going to see him at all in the preseason.
Right.
I hate myself for acknowledging why and understanding why, but... Yeah, I get it. And Doug Peterson, we played the cut for you from last night. We let you hear from Carson Wentz as well as to why he's not going out there and why they feel still 100% confident Carson Wentz can play at an MVP level despite not having any preseason play. It might take a couple of snaps, a couple of series to knock the rust off, but he had enough workouts with his receivers. He's participated in the joint practices, and he and DeSean Jackson, I've been saying it since they started throwing the ball to one another, they look like they've been on the same page for 10 years. DeSean Jackson and Carson Wentz, right. They never played an actual game together yet.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and look, if he's thrown anybody out of the backfield, it's going to be Darren Sproles, Miles Sanders, whatever. If he's thrown anybody down, it's DeSean Jackson, like you just said. It's Zach Ertz. It's Alshon Jeffrey. He's done it with those guys. He knows what he's doing. That lends to the argument of no sense.
You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. So we referenced about an hour ago the Tim McManus story on ESPN. About Carson Wentz last year and trying to become just a better all-around teammate. And we talked about, Trey, you talked about as well, building that chemistry with his players.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something else that the article got into, other than him and Darren Sproles having a little conversation during the 2017 season when both were on the mend during the Super Bowl run and Darren Sproles telling him, look, stop hanging your head. You can still help us, but even if you're not playing. Well, he also talked about, Tim McManus talked about how Carson, we've kind of gotten into this as well. Carson's back injury really started to rear its ugly head even before the Minnesota Vikings game in, what, week 5 last year?
Week 4 last year? He heard it earlier than probably we all knew. Everybody knew.
Well, I had heard that there was a little rumbling of it in that Minnesota game, and I talked about that on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Tim McManus quotes a source that says, yeah, there was a conversation had during the game, or excuse me, during warm-ups, where Carson said, I can't sit down. And somebody in that conversation says, why not? And he says, my back.
That's not good.
And that was the Minnesota Vikings game last year, all right, which was early in the season, as we all know. It's an interesting thing that he still tried to play through that for the next couple of weeks.
I think Stafford had the same injury, and I think he played the whole year.
Mm. It was week 5, Minnesota.
So I guess it depends on maybe the severity of it, and not to say pain tolerance, but maybe pain tolerance, because I think Stafford played with the exact same injury. So maybe Carson's was worse. I don't know. I don't have the x-rays.
Right. But one more week against the Giants goes by,
yeah.
And that's the first time he's listed on the injury list. Or injury
yeah.
report.
And then played, what, another 2 weeks after that?
He played against the Giants, played Carolina, played Jacksonville, had the bye, played
Most
Dallas.
People kind of thought like it was that Carolina game, but he was already on the injury report at that point.
Yeah, he had already appeared on it.
It was a little shady.
Yeah, I mean, really, what, December? He played into December.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, what, I'm trying to pull this up because it was a Minnesota game. Okay, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, week 5, October 7th.
So he would have been getting treatments and all that, and they just hid that from us, I guess?
So I bring this up because what are we talking about this preseason? Protecting Carson Wentz? What the hell were we doing last year? Like, yeah. I get there could be hairline fractures and things could be difficult to show. It's tough to see some things on x-rays.
Fair question.
This has come up with athletes throughout. But if we're talking so much about protecting a $107.9 million guarantee
type
quarterback.
He was on his rookie deal then, so it wasn't as important.
But talent level, I understand. I know what you're saying, but, I mean, talent level wise, even because, look, you're saying that as a joke. There are people saying that.
Yeah.
Like, as a serious point.
Well, he was on his rookie deal, so you might as well take a shot with him. Now you got him locked up to the big money. You got to bubble wrap him.
You still had Foles.
Well, now we got McCown.
So. He loves him some McCown.
You're not wrong.
You're a
Jamie.
Slut when it comes to backup quarterbacks.
Wow. How dare you?
Whoa.
It just came to me.
What's going on?
But yeah, it's a fair point. I mean, why now, not then?
So I know that people are looking at Carson Wentz and saying, oh, preseason, got to protect him. Can we look within a little bit more and maybe take care of him medically a little bit better than maybe what we have?
Mm-hmm.
And I know Jeff McClain made a big issue of the soft tissue injuries.
Oh, he was grilling them last year on it.
Let's talk about this. So we're talking about Carson Wentz's injury. So Mac Hollins.
He's back from the dead.
He got resurrected.
He is alive now.
I saw him last night in the game.
He made a nice catch over on the sideline.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He's no Carlton Agwadosi. How about that?
That kid's making a case.
He's doing himself some favors this preseason. You're looking at the Chris Maragos fella. What happened to him?
I think he died.
Can we take care of these athletes a little bit better than what we're doing?
Or at least a little more transparency.
I'm not saying it's easy to be a doctor by any means.
No, it's not.
But when you have these...
A broken back should be fairly easy to diagnose. Right?
I just
Trey, you've had some back issues.
Yeah, I had a herniated disc.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that gets cleared up. Once you feel that, you know exactly what's going on. But just real quick, you know, when you say, all right, where were they last year? What was going on with the protection of him? All right, well, within the first two games of him coming back against Indianapolis and also, who was that next game after that?
Tennessee.
Yeah. He's got sacked 10 times in those first two games back.
Okay.
And I'm not even counting the quarterback hits. And then he goes to Minnesota and gets sacked 3 times. So that's 13 times in 3 games.
Oh, yeah, he took a beating.
That was a beating.
He took a beating.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But when beating resulted in a broken back.
Yes, yes, it did.
I'd like to see that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you've seen more x-rays than I have. I understand things can be difficult to find, but when you're talking about that kind of investment, yeah, I know you're looking at the offensive line and protecting them within the game, but how about in the trainer's room?
Yeah.
That's a question worth asking, and it's been asked. And now you're talking about a story coming out of ESPN from Tim McManus saying that there was actually a conversation between Carson and a teammate where he complained about not being able to sit down because his back hurt that much. Next thing you know, guess what? He plays in that Minnesota game. He plays in the Giants game on that Thursday night game that we all thought, this is when they're going to get it going. Then he played again against Carolina, Jacksonville, Dallas, New Orleans, New York, Washington, Dallas again. And then Carson went out, and then you had Nick Foles show again for the final three games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be better when it comes to protecting the quarterback within the confines of the trainer's room before he even sets foot.
Medically.
Medically, I'm asking questions here that I think deserve to be asked.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
When a story comes out on a national platform like that about a franchise quarterback that recently became the most guaranteed money in the NFL, I kind of want to make sure that he's being protected as much as possible from the medical staff.
But you've had players that's played through this before, though.
Okay.
Yeah,
but they didn't know that this was the problem, apparently.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they knew something was going on with him. Now, I don't know what.
They knew his back hurt.
Yeah, they knew his back hurt. I'm pretty sure they made him get an MRI and all of this other stuff. I know they said that at first this situation is something that's hard to find, a needle in the haystack, a little piece where it was a hairline fracture, and then as he continues to play, it just continued to get worse.
Yeah.
You know, but you've had players that's gutted this out, you know, so and the problem is, you say, okay, you need the medical staff to protect us to protect the players, but you also need to have the players in the mindset to protect themselves because players are programmed to, man, if I can walk, I can go. You know, and that's just the mindset that you have.
Well, if you remember, going through the latter stages of the season, especially those three games at the end of the year and the two playoff games, was Carson ever placed on IR?
No, he couldn't.
No.
He was still like, hey, hold on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, they didn't dress him.
No.
And I kept bringing it up.
Yeah. All I need is a little rest.
And Doug.
Yeah.
And
so maybe it was in the back of their minds. Well, if we need him, we'll press him in there.
What the hell are we doing?
They did make changes to the staff,
didn't
they?
This is what we do.
Yeah, to the medical.
Yeah.
This is what we do. I mean, this you play football.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't golf. This isn't, you know, whatever else it is. This is what you do. I mean, everybody battles through some type of issue. You know, and if anybody that has any grit about them, man, you're gonna gut it out. This is what you do.
The medical staff is the enemy.
Yeah,
to the player, you're right, Trey? I
was always, hey, look, this is what's bothering me. You know, can we get it right? You know, and then they're going to come in and do whatever treatment that he has to do. But this is the life you chose.
And the medical staff changes were going into last year that you were dealing with new people. And I think they made one or two changes going into this year.
I think they did make a move or two again this year.
Yeah, I think it was the most two going into this year.
A couple changes.
Yeah, so, like, let's hope we get it right.
Yeah.
I know everyone wants to look at the offensive line.
The Sixers made changes? What's going on here? What's up with our medical staff?
Nobody knows anything anymore.
I don't care who you put in there. If the player says, look, man, it's not that bad, I can go, they're going to let him go.
Well, that's dumb. Like, if you're, look, forget about quarterback, but if you're my left tackle and you're telling me, yeah, I can go, and I'm looking at you like carrying your leg, I'm going to be like, maybe you should take a break.
I mean, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like a broken back. I'm going to say, why don't you take a breather? You know, that'll protect you from you. Wow. Carl, North Philly. Carl, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Yo.
Good morning.
Hey, man, look, I'm just trying to put everything in as fast as possible. Yesterday, I hope all the negative Nancys that were just, you know, aching about Carson not playing in the preseason, I hope they feel a little better because I don't know what's going on with Cam, but it don't look good, right?
No, anyway. Yeah, Cam, it doesn't look good. Ankle even sprain, a little bit. Yeah.
So I don't know about anybody else, man, but I would hate to be a Carolina fan right now. But if you take an overall from yesterday's performance, you just look at McLeod coming back. I mean, that's my number one. Just to see him flying to the ball, that was good to see. Seeing Peters out there coaching the guys up, going almost three quarters. I mean, all the leaders are doing everything that they're supposed to do. So now the catch 22 is what is all of our other players like Nelson Aguilar and a lot of these corners that's coming back. There's a lot of players that's going to play big ball this year because there's a lot of vets who are on the scene that's starting to step up. So I'm just happy, man. I'm excited. And also excited to see Josh McCown doing the checkdowns and doing all the...
No, nobody's more excited than Trey.
But you know, listen, I played left tackle too. I played for Chaminade Madonna down in Hollywood, Florida. Uh-huh. And I played high school ball at a high level. And playing left tackle, you're going to love your quarterback. So please don't beat up Trey. Trey is a loyal quarterback. You have to be over 300 pounds to understand this mindset that we have, okay?
Understood.
Trey's a small guy.
All right, Carl. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Sure. Getting some good stuff in there. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, and wait, look, we talked about the medical staff, talked about protecting Carson Wentz. The offensive line was a little shaky last night, Trey.
Yeah.
At least show me that you're on the same page. That's all that we asked for. And last night, they weren't even in the same like library. Time of the Fanatic, 8:11.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yep. Two positives real quick here. Two positives. One, JJ Arcega Whiteside. JJ Arcega. By the way, kudos to Scott. Kudos to Scott Graham of the Eagles broadcast.
He was on it.
He's, you know what? He's doing what we like to say. Saying it with his chest.
Saying it with his chest.
Arcega Whiteside.
He's a professional.
JJ Arcega Whiteside getting it done for you last night. A nice little positive, to say the least. Josh McCown.
Yeah.
Some positives there.
Bright light.
Guy basically yawned, stretched, walked out of the broadcast booth, and next thing you know, bada boop, bada beep.
Wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
Just slinging it for you last night. You were loving a little Josh McCown yesterday.
Yeah, I really enjoyed what he was doing. I mean, you know, he was the vet that you thought he would be coming out there with a very limited playbook, knowing that he doesn't understand everything that's going on, but he's been around the game for what? He played in the vet. The man, that's all I get. He played in the vet. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's been around pretty much every playbook underneath the sun. I mean, there's nothing new to him. So he just stepped in and was like, all right, this looks familiar. Hey, check, let's go.
Mm-hmm. He was dealing. He was making things happen. And, you know, forget about it. You want to talk about the vet? I believe it was his left guard, Nate Herbig, is as old as his daughter, 21.
That's awesome. Mm.
Googly moogly. Remember the scene in Hard Knocks when the Jets had it?
Wait. How do you feel about that, though? Like, how does that play out? Like, if, you know, like he meets your daughter and they, like, you know, they start dating, you know?
Yeah, I think you keep your daughter out the locker room. Her away.
I think Nate Herbig is more of the shy type.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm just not saying that, you know. But, like, how would you, if you were...
Family day?
Yeah, you're a quarterback.
Uh-huh.
And you're a young guard, you know, starts trying to, you know, talk to your daughter.
Well, didn't, Tom Coughlin's son-in-law is his former guard?
Oh, yeah. Doll or something?
Something
Doll?
Like that.
Not Ronald Doll.
But that's a coach. No. I'm talking about it.
No, David Deal.
Your teammates.
Deal, that's it.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no, your teammates, though.
Yeah, I don't think I'd handle that well.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah. Hey, that's why we said Manny Machado didn't go to the White Sox, because his like brother-in-law was playing there.
Oh, yeah. He was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I'm not. Nope. Too much.
If there's some concern about last night, we have some, but another one. Jake Elliott. Should we bring in Carly Lloyd?
I'm serious. It's getting
worrisome, concerning.
He's only good from like 45 plus. Anything inside, he kind of is 50-50.
Yeah, what was it, 44 last night?
Yeah.
What did he miss?
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't enjoyable.
And he's not great at PATs either.
Okay, so what, Justin Tucker, Carly Lloyd, and then Jake Elliott. Like,
that was the order. Yeah.
Not going to be third on the list. No.
You know, Jake Elliott needs the pressure. He needs the pressure on it.
Right, he needs the game situation.
Yeah.
I like that. In regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But no, what I was going to say was, remember the Hard Knocks with the New York Jets? And that's when Rex Ryan became the most popular person ever in the NFL. But remember, Mark Sanchez, remember who his backup quarterback was, right?
At USC?
No. With the Jets.
Oh.
Mark Brunell.
Yeah, that's right.
And Mark Brunell was moving his daughter into college while that was shooting. And he's like, oh, man, move my daughter into college. And Sanchez's head shot up like,
what'd you say? College girl?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What?
And then they cut to Mark Brunell being interviewed. He's like, yeah, Mark Sanchez is never going to be my daughter. But one of the positive notes of last night, I said we're going to get into the offensive line because that was actually a cause for concern. But one of the positive, Matt in Pottstown wants to talk about, and that's Josh McCown. Matt, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Perfect segue what you mentioned just before I got there. Obviously, you know, my positive is McCown. He's here for, 5 days? He's coming in, making checkdowns like he helped install the offense from the get-go. I think last night's performance pretty much guarantees that he is our number two quarterback. Once we get into the season, Kessler gets the door prize, and the other guy, Thurston, whatever, he gets a T-shirt. And
Thorson.
That's that. His name doesn't matter. He's getting a T-shirt, and that's that. I think he came in, and he really showed that he's comfortable here. He's comfortable with what we're doing, and he's made some connections with guys. On the negative side, I agree. I think we've carried Jake Elliott long enough. We've got to get a leg in here. You have to. We cannot have a game. We cannot cost us a game this season because of Jake Elliott.
I'm not pulling the plug on Jake Elliott. I think the guy has earned. He's made some big kicks for you. I know he missed a PAT in the Super Bowl, but other than that, he's made some pretty big kicks for you here. I'm not pulling the plug after one missed field goal in the preseason.
Nah, it's not preseason for me. Where I look at it, he's missed too many gimmies on field goals or extra points, and we just happen to score more points than we actually needed in that particular time last year. So for me, he's done. We need a leg. The last thing I want to just touch on is what you guys are talking about the preseason, the way the NFL looks, and I think we are going down that path of the joint practice, and the preseason games are going to be a thing of the past. But what you have there is you have that trickle-down effect. And the NFL, they do it under this guise of safety, but we all know it's money. But what it does is that's trickling down into the high school level, where they've really drawn back, and they limit contact, and they limit practice times, and there is an element of a tolerance, and you build up a hitting. You cannot go quarter speed all week at any level and then expect people to come on game night and go live full speed. That's how you get people hurt. It's
right.
No different in football than any sport. You got guys that are cage heroes all winter, and the minute they step out in the sun in April, they're popping up like Willie Mays Hayes. You have to have a live element in no matter what sport you're doing, or you're putting people at risk, in my opinion.
I think that your argument has great value to
it.
Not the Eagles this year with Carson Wentz with that offensive line.
No, I agree.
Yeah,
He's bubble wrap. I get that. I'm talking about just in general, like in the grand scheme of things. The NFL is about money. So I agree. When you're talking, I forget what the percentage you're talking about, when you're talking about the money that between the linemen, the cornerbacks, the everybody, when you're talking that kind of money out on the table for a preseason game, no, I would not do that. But what I'm saying is, what they're doing, though, with the exception of the quarterback, they're going live in every other position in those joint practices. So they are getting a live, full-speed, look. And what I'm saying is, because the NFL does it and they do it under this umbrella of safety, it trickles down into through college and it trickles down into the high school. And when you're talking low level, that is all safety. I get that. But when you're in that middle, where I'm talking high school athletics, and you start trimming back too much because of what the umbrella that they're using is safety, in my opinion, at certain points, you're putting more kids at risk because they are not having the type of contact they need on a regular basis. And then all of a sudden, you're saying, hey, here's Friday Night Lights. They're on. Let's go play full speed. And you're seeing I know someone asked earlier, you're seeing a higher level of injuries in the high school realm of football than you are in college or the pro. And to me, that's because of this drawback. I agree, there has to be a balance. But to me right now, they're playing it over too cautious at that level, and they're putting kids at risk when you go full speed.
All right, well, and I hear what you're saying, and that'll become a problem at the NFL level if it hasn't already. But I remember people talking about that when they came to, NFL started a proper tackling camp or a program to put kids in, like protect the head or something like that. I forget the name of it. But and I get that, and that's going to lead into the NFL, like I said, if it hasn't already. But yeah, as long as you're protecting the kids, I get it. But as far as what people really care about, which is last night's preseason game and how the preseason's being approached right now, if your offensive line is being piecemealed together at this point and you're just trying to get guys out there for in-game experience like Mailata throughout this preseason and Andre Dillard, I'm going to go ahead and hold back on Carson Wentz.
So Carson Wentz has, say, an 8-year-old niece, and she comes to see him and she says, Uncle Carson, how come you didn't play in the preseason? What's his answer? I'm serious.
Don't need it?
They didn't want me to get hurt. That scares the hell out of me that the first thing, it's overriding.
Mm-hmm.
Injury is overriding. The fear of injury is overriding everything.
No, I think it's, hey, I didn't have my full offensive line in front of me.
And therefore, they didn't want me to get hurt.
Right, yeah exactly.
It's a pet peeve of mine, this injury overriding thing. It just drives me crazy.
Do we dare call this load?
Bob was on the teetering on cursing there.
No.
You were about to be like, this is driving me bleeping crazy.
Greek God Lane Johnson was not playing. So,
yeah. I'm not putting Carson out behind Jordan Mailata. Nope.
Bob, it's a family show.
I wasn't going to curse.
Bob's
I
family.
Wasn't.
Bob, it's family.
Relax,
Bob. Bob, it's family
show. So, Trey, say Lane, for whatever reason, and he will be fine week one. Hypothetically, if he's not ready week one, who's your starting right tackle?
Oh, man. I don't know.
I mean, it's got.
I don't know who you're training to
because
to be
Big
that guy.
Because Big V would be. I you know if
Big
Brandon
V is
not
like
ready
being at right guard. Wisniewski did not do a good enough job for me to say, hey, you can move from right guard to right.
He wasn't even the backup center last night. I think Wiz is about to be out of here.
Yeah, he's right now. He's on his. You know, look. Okay, we tried you at center. You had all these fumble snaps. You had a rough game of switching things off. All right, we're gonna put you at right guard. Right guard. He did not. It wasn't like weren't shutting down. There were a lot of issues out there at right guard.
So who the hell's the right tackle?
Let's go through it. Jordan Mailata has been your right tackle throughout the preseason.
I guess would have to be him, right?
Would you move Vitae out to right tackle?
But who are you going to put in the guard?
Right.
If Wiz doesn't make it, that's not even an option.
Right. Like, we're poking holes left and right. But what I'm saying is these are the suspects could possibly go
it's
in there.
It's Big V. It's Mailata. I mean, Dillard, that's too much to throw him
Dillard
on the right side.
Pryor
doesn't seem to be ready at all.
Oh, God, no. I'd rather go with Mailata. Two tight ends on that side? What do you do?
I don't know.
Unbalanced line?
Full backfield, one
wide
receiver.
Stay healthy, Lane. How about Baltimore running that last night? A weird formation.
They were getting crazy last night with their formations.
I kind of like some of the stuff Baltimore was doing yesterday.
They were prepared.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they looked a lot more prepared than the Eagles.
They are 16-0.
They are
in their last
undefeated
16 preseason
72 Dolphins.
But I did want to get back into this, and aside from just injuries and shuffle on the deck when it comes to the offensive line, Trey, last night, if you want to talk about cause for concern, other than finding yourself in a 20-plus point differential in the first half, that offensive line was giving me some concern with the fact that nobody looked like they were on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Mailata had false starts. He had a holding. I think Andre Dillard had a holding penalty as well. Yeah. They just didn't look like they were on the same page.
Yeah,
at least show me that you're ready to play in the game, fellas.
Kelsey had a bad snap. I mean, you know, it wasn't as clean as you wanted to be. Of course, the entire left side with JP and Isaac, they were on the same page. It seemed Kelsey. I felt like, you know, I don't know who's going to push that, but Jordan should have set out there for the corner with it being a slide protection on that first set with Kessler. But it wasn't all smooth, because there was one particular play where it was kind of a it would have been a fumble, because it was, the pass was thrown behind the line of scrimmage.
Oh, that was Kessler, yeah.
Yeah, so you had pressure coming right up the middle. I mean, you know, this is against your starting group now. This right. is your starting offensive line minus Lane Johnson. That was a big play right there. So, you know, there were some issues out there that you're going to have to go back and look at the film and like, all right, we're going to need to clean this up, man, because Washington, don't just think that, you know, this is going to be a team that you're going to be able to, you should be able to go out there and dominate.
Ryan Kerrigan's pretty good.
Yeah, you know, and also, too, what you're seeing right now, the way guys are blitzing them, what's important to me is what I'm noticing is that they wait for those backs to go into motion, and then they're bringing the blitz. They're not showing their hand that quick. You know, it's the one blitz that came out of last week where everybody was all upset about Dillard, you know,
right.
That was a perfectly timed blitz. Once that back went into motion, they rotated safeties and bam, they brought it to the other side. So, you know, this is going to be a theme.
And you're talking about the one that Kessler got hurt on last week. Jacksonville, right, yeah. And he also didn't go to his hot route there.
Go to his hot route. Yeah, but still, just the timing of that blitz was perfect. And you're going to start seeing that a little bit more where they're going to notice the motion. And once that motion guy goes, let's go. Bang.
And Dillard did the right thing in terms of blocking the guy closest to the quarterback.
Yeah, he did the right thing. Or you could have slid the line. If you're going to slide the line, then now if you go laser, you slide the line, then you pick everything up, put the pressure in the quarterback's face, and then now he can get rid of the ball.
But is Dillard going to make that call, or is your center going to make
that
call?
No. Your center has to make that call, or the quarterback. As you can see, that McCown, he was stepping up like, hey, hold on. Hey, check. Hey, slide this line. Let's go Q8, whatever it is. Whatever protection we're in right now, I see this safety rotation is happening, and I'm not going to get my head taken off.
I'm 40. I don't want to get hit.
Yeah.
I didn't come back for this.
Yeah.
What, like, in all seriousness, though, I'm not one to grade on a curve, but Cody Kessler looks so bad in that first two series.
He's going to get himself or somebody else killed.
I almost absolve the offensive line of when he was in.
That fourth down play, what the hell was he doing?
I don't know. I don't know, but
pretty sure Alshon was open on that.
He was. You're right.
Yeah.
That particular play.
Well, one and two. If you're going to take on three defenders, just throw the ball away, dude. It's fourth down.
Alshon was on a slant, or maybe a drag. I think it was a slant, and he was wide open.
And Cody Kessler was like, "Do I throw the ball?
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm nervous.
Am I a quarterback?
Like,
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I don't know who typed a question mark on the playbook. Like, I don't get it. But
it was the option to throw. Maybe I don't know.
But aside from all that, when Cody Kessler was aside from that, the offensive line, false starts, holding, like,
you know what, with the false starts, you haven't really had a chance with McCown to get the rhythm of his cadence. So at that point, I'm like, all right.
McCown did say that after the game. He was like, my cadence was a little off at first. Yeah. It was like getting in an old pickup truck.
That was funny. So you have to kind of get used to the rhythm of the quarterback's cadence. That's extremely important.
It's that different between guys?
Yeah.
Like, notice, like, different languages?
Yeah, you have to get used to their rhythm. Like, five was always blue 88, said that. You know, so you had to get used to the rhythm. Somebody might be blue 88, said that. You know, it's that rhythm that you have to get used to. It's not just, because you're not going off hut. You're trained to go off the set. So you want to hear, whenever that set is coming, I'm gone. So anytime that the pace of that cadence change, you're going to see guys jump. So after seeing guys jump a couple times, I would have just said, you know what, let's go silent count. Take the quarterback out of it, because you're not used to his cadence anyway. Right. Let's go off the center's head movement.
So it could cause that big of a funk in the offensive line where you're seeing that many plays mismanaged, if you will.
Yes, if you're not used to the quarterback's cadence and how he's going to call it, his rhythm, you're going to see jumps.
I remember, I think it was a couple years ago, maybe with Vic, that I remember that being an issue. I remember the cadence of the quarterback was throwing people off so much that they were having more false starts than normal, and Kelsey was struggling. That might even even been Chip's first year.
Yeah.
But they were having some kind of issue with that. Yeah. I remember that coming up in the, what do you call it? I remember somebody in the media calling it Huts instead of calling it the Cadence, and Kelsey was like,
the Huts?
You mean, yeah.
Really? Hut hike?
There was a...
Like somebody playing Sandlot football?
Somebody said Huts. Somebody said, are you having a problem with the Huts? And Jason Kelsey, like, in the middle of the media scrum, stopped and went...
Huts?
Are you talking about the Cadence? You're talking about the Cadence,
right? Are we talking about, like, mud huts?
The Huts? Are you talking about
mud huts?
Are you talking about an Adobe? What are you talking about?
The hut hike?
Pizza?
Hey, guys, hut hike?
I wish I was kidding, but I'm not kidding.
Oh, boy.
Somebody referenced it as the Huts.
Hut?
Yeah.
Does anybody even say hut anymore?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I hear a lot of green 80. I hear a lot of green 80.
I always heard blue.
Green 80 set.
Yeah.
Mm. And then I enjoy when they're trying to call them off sides.
Hut. Hut hike. Go, guys. I said hut.
I'm glad I could give you this toy.
That made my day. Hut. That's funny.
Before we hit the next break, I'm just going to say hut. And then you tell me when you think you should go. Basically. I think that's how we'll do it. All right. So I didn't realize it could I didn't realize it could throw a guy off that much. Yeah, yeah. But I guess it can.
Yeah, it can. Because I even like, like we knew with McNabb. So his rhythm was always Blue 88 said hut. If we knew that he saw something in the secondary, a safety rotation, he would start to drag it out a little bit. So it's Blue 88. He was like, Blue 88. Oh, no. We're already gone.
How would you grade his pre-snap recognition?
I don't know.
Like on a scale of 1 to 10.
Like, I dealt with Jack most of the time. So, okay.
Everything else is blocked out.
Jack handled all of that for us.
Okay.
Jamal Jackson handled all of it. Okay. Yeah, he handled all that for us. So, I ain't, you know.
Yeah.
If Five says something, he's checking the side of the play. For Jack handled all of our points and calls and put us in the right direction. And then from there, I'm looking at what Todd is talking about, and then we just go from there. And now all I want to do is hear McNabb's cadence. And then sometimes I would like, all right, Five, your cadence is a little off. Let's go to Jack's silent count, because I like going off as his head movement, because it was always consistent.
Easy enough. Do I have to tell you, though, listen to this, people, because it is a fine Football Friday, albeit preseason. Who cares? Still football. Football Friday on The Fanatic, brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember, Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. Coming up in a minute, we're going to talk about how crazy of a night it was in the NFL, not just here in Philadelphia with a preseason game ending early due to weather, but around the league and even in Canada.
And apparently Daniel Jones is next to Joe Montana.
Boy, he's slinging it last night.
Was it, you know, ready to sling it?
I actually loved that last night. And I'll tell you.
Sling it? All right, North Dakota kid.
I'll tell you why I loved it so much.
That is still, like, so weird.
All right, North Dakota kid.
Have you...
sling it?
Oh, my God.
Have you talked to your former employer yet about that?
No. What would I say?
All right, Florida State kid.
So Monday, I did One's Gotta Go with Barrett and Trey real quick, and one of them was Howie, Carson, McNabb, and Lori. One's Gotta Go. He chose Howie.
You did, Trey?
Mm-hmm. I put him on the grills.
Cold-blooded.
And I gave Barrett 4 NBC Sports Philly guys, and he kept you. Zangaro got the cut.
What a guy.
I got to keep my quarterbacks in the money, man.
All right, tell you about last night in the NFL. It's crazy. Coming up with you here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Hey, you can check this out. Tobias Harris, Ticket Raid, meet and greet. You can join the Fanatic for FanFest Ticket Raid today from 1 to 3 at Metro by T-Mobile at 6. That's 6342 Rising Sun Avenue in Philly. And from 4 to 6 p.m. at 2201 Cotman Avenue. Stop by and grab a pair of FanFest tickets and register for a chance to win FanFest meet and greet with Toby himself.
Toby.
Good old Toby. And here's something I wanted to make sure I mentioned as well. You can win a trip for four to Disney's NBA experience. Is that where Anthony and Jason were last week?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw the pics.
Oh, yeah. I watched ESPN broadcast from there. It's beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it like the same type of thing that used to be in New York? Or is that just the NBA store?
That was the NBA store.
This is the whole experience.
Yeah.
That's a great place.
You can stand next to an Adam Silver, you know, what do they call the...
Cardboard cutout?
No, Madame Tussauds wax, I guess, figure.
Wax figure?
With the draft scene behind you.
Oh, so actually Adam Silver. That's amazing.
Yeah, basically. He's a lizard person.
Is that a...
Yeah, he's...
It's an unnecessary shot I just took. I don't know why, but I just...
Totally unnecessary.
But Adam Silver's cool.
So mean.
A little disappointed.
He's all right. He got behind gambling, so he's cool in my book.
For that, yes.
Yeah. He moved up the primetime games a half hour. Yeah. He heard the people complaining.
And you know what else he did? That Sterling fella that was like, why are you talking to Magic Johnson?
Got him out of there.
While he was like, hey, why are you talking to Magic Johnson, toots? Like when he was like, like I say toots jokingly. He says toots like he means it. And he was just like, yeah, we're not going to tolerate this. He's out.
Slumlord.
Adam Silver's cool in my book.
But if he was standing next to a wax portrait of himself,
I would take a picture.
No. What I'm saying is, would you really be able to tell? Exactly.
No.
So really, I'm not even being a jerk. I'm just reporting the news. If it's a fact, it's the deal with it. That's all I got to say about it. But the NBA experience, nonetheless, is incredible. You should check it out in Disney. If you love the game of basketball, now it's time to live the game of basketball and take your shot at the all-new NBA experience at Walt Disney World Resort with a special Fanatic giveaway. There are two ways to enter. Go to the contest page on 975thefanatic.com and enter to win, or go to FanFest 2019 on site, and there will be a registration box for you to sign up to win. Not too shabby. And at FanFest tomorrow, don't forget, we're gonna have a blast with you, first and foremost. But also this, Allen Iverson will be at FanFest, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Allen Iverson will be there, thanks to our good friends at Time After Time Watches. Time After Time keeps Philly ticking, and also Tobias Harris, as I just mentioned. He's going to be there, courtesy of Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro by T-Mobile now and take advantage of the best deal in wireless only at Metro. And come on, are we going to stop with just basketball? Absolutely not. How about some football? DeSean Jackson is going to be at FanFest with us tomorrow as well, and he'll be presented by the wonderful people of FanDuel. Not too shabby.
By the way, right, Sam just put the note up. Did you see Michael Porter Jr. was at a NBA player symposium like last week or the week before?
Really?
And he tweeted out a picture from it, and Adam Silver was talking to the players, and he had his email, his phone number, all of his direct contact information. Oh. Like, hey, if you
Porter
ever
did, or like his info?
No, Adam Silver's info was on the board, and he was saying to the players, like, you know, I'm always there for you if you need to get in touch with me. Here's my information. Michael Porter Jr. took a picture of that shot and tweeted it out by accident.
Mm.
So all of Adam Silver's information is out there.
All right, send him an email. Ask him what he thinks about his wax portrait or wax.
Get him on the show, Jay.
I believe it's adam.silver@nba.com. But his cell phone was out there, so I would imagine some people had some fun with that one.
Slight oversight, Michael Porter Jr. Slight oversight.
Whoops.
But okay, so that's a weird thing. Let's talk about some weird things in the NFL. Last night. First, the unfortunate instance where a starting quarterback plays, Cam Newton, and then he leaves the game in a walking boot. What did you say, Jamie? Under duress?
Yeah, that's what Lewis Riddick said. The Patriots were sending pressure all game, and he was not comfortable from the start.
All right, so let's go around a little bit here. Also a weird instance in the preseason. Obviously, here in Philadelphia, they call the game early due to weather, so everyone goes home early. I saw one person tweet. I forget where I saw it, but it was like, wow, preseason so bad, even the players left early. So you see that happen last night here in Philly. And then north of the border in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Winnipeg. They say sorry, not sorry, and only play on an 80-yard football field.
That's the weirder things ever.
Raiders and the Packers do that because they play at a CFL stadium in Winnipeg, and the goalposts in the CFL are like, what, 1920s football, where they're like in front of the goalpost?
Yeah.
In front of the goal line? So they take him out, and they just left two big ditches, basically, in the field.
Pretty much.
So they shorten the field. They only play on an 80-yard field.
What'd they put, like, pylons up?
I don't even know what they did. Yeah, they basically said, get the ball past this point. Oh, and that God. Was it. It was 80 yards. That's it, not 100, so that's odd. And then, it's not even odd as it is unfortunate. And, Trey, I don't know how you'd react to this if you're playing in this game, but there's been a little bit of a riff between Benjamin Watson, to put it plainly, and Eric Reed. Now, if you missed it, remember last year Eric Reed got into it with Malcolm Jenkins because they're both trying to usher in social change, but they're going about it two different ways. Eric Reed doesn't really like the way Malcolm Jenkins is doing it, and it became an issue during last football season when the Panthers played the Eagles. So Benjamin Watson, basically, what did he do? Tweet him, Jamie?
He tweeted directly at Eric Reed on Wednesday and basically said, like, yo, you got to stop with this Malcolm Jenkins nonsense. We're all in this together. We need each other. Like, basically, you don't own the cause.
Right.
Like, we're doing good work, too, over here at the Players Coalition. Just because you and Kaepernick are doing your thing doesn't mean we're not all together.
But he tweeted him. He didn't, like, text him.
Oh, no, he didn't subtweet him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he tweeted him.
Yeah.
Straight up added him.
Boom. So he didn't even slide into the DMs.
Nope.
He was out there on the TL.
Yeah, and he's right.
Yes. So Benjamin Watson of the Patriots is taking the side of Malcolm Jenkins.
And the Players Coalition that was originally formed, that they were once a part of, and then said, you know, you guys are doing this for the publicity, we're out.
So there's a little backstory. And then in the game, Benjamin Watson catches a ball, gets tackled by one guy, touchdown by another, and then while he's down, Eric Reed comes in last night's Patriots-Panthers preseason game and hits him late. And not just hits him late, Bob.
Yeah.
Like, went after the head.
After the head. Shoulder and then a forearm shimmy.
There's no question.
None at all.
Cheap shot. It was intentional and premeditated as this little Twitter war happened, unfortunately. But you know that this is something that Eric Reed said to himself, if I can go into this game and get a little shot at Benjamin Watson, I'm going to go ahead and do that. He even asked him, Eric Reed asked his coach, Ron Rivera, whether or not he thought it was a late hit. And he goes, yeah, it was pretty late. So he said, oh, no, he just wanted to stop him before he got the first down. Yeah, BS. Trey, former player, how are you responding to that in a game?
Oh, yeah, you pissed. You're going to try to go after him.
Like, I remember when I knew I loved Jason Peters, aside from just knowing that he was a great player, I loved him. I knew when he went after Chris Baker or the Redskins after he took a little cheap shot on Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. Now, this is far worse than that, because you could at least make the argument that Chris Baker was trying to eliminate a guy who could have been a tackler, whatever. You can make that argument if you really want to grasp at straws. But Eric Reed laid it out ahead of time, saying that, yeah, there was a little beef here.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's unfortunate that stuff like that is going on. You know, and the NFL is definitely going to have to step in and handle this. I mean, you know, it's going to be a big fine.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.